Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecott, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message called Overcoming Faith. John wrote in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. This is 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 4. "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Verse 5. "Who is he that overcomes the world, but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" For an overcoming faith, please also read chapter 1, "Do We Win or Not?" in the book Light by Joseph Hedgecock. The word world in Strong's is number 2889. Probably from another word meaning orderly arrangement, that is decoration, by implication the world, in a wide or narrow sense. Most Christians do not see the need to overcome the orderly arrangement, making them comfortable with the values they have, listening to their flesh and the God of this world. Everything that originates and comes from God is greater, and only those who can hear and obey His voice instantly are not conformed to this world. Those obeying the Spirit consistently are born of God, not just born again. God knows what level of temptation you can handle and provides what is necessary to overcome. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. This is Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies." Verse 2, "Fulfill my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Verse 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Verse 4, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus." Verse 6, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Verse 7, "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Verse 8, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Verse 9, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name, which is above every name." Verse 10, "That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth." Verse 11, "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." For more information about what came in the package of salvation and how it works, please read the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Chapter 4 on Understanding and Enjoying Your Salvation by Joseph Hitchcock. Paul was writing to those experiencing his love at a low level of pressure. In trials, you should be getting answers for every situation today and not ever lean to your own understanding. Jesus emptied himself of his divine nature to complete the Father's plan on this earth in a human body. He showed us the way by not taking matters into his own hands. If you have overcoming faith, you will do the same. Empty yourself of all your dreams and desires. In this world, you do not need to be gifted or strong in any area, but just make him Lord by working out your salvation in fear and trembling. John also wrote in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. This is 1 John chapter 5. I'm reading verse 1. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loves him, that begat, loves him also, that is begotten of him. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Jesus was tempted like everyone else, but overcame the cross with God's pure love. He did not use his own divine nature or have an advantage over you and me. He loved all the people, even the religious leaders who rejected him because he spoke the truth. Treated like a criminal, Jesus had faith that God would raise him because he did not sin or react under pressure, keeping his commands. Your Heavenly Father is transmitting his perfect will by the Spirit, so you do not have to sin. But will you accept the challenge? His kingdom will provide complicated situations to strengthen your faith, ready for eternity. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, this is John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. For more information on how to develop your love relationship with God through his commands, please read the book How Love Grows by Joseph Hitchcock. In this world, you will be overcome because man's love is self-seeking. Start your new life in Christ seeking his specific commands, as only God's love is pure. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 21, this is John's Gospel, chapter 14, I'm reading verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. By having and keeping his commandments, Jesus will manifest himself to you by the Spirit. In the last days, there is more grace to overcome. So stay humble by obeying consistently. God wanted his disciples to develop a love relationship under a certain amount of pressure by faith, because they're about to be scattered. There are different levels of love. God's pure love develops through keeping his specific commands. Start with a simple command like, what time to get up and what time to get to bed each day. This may not be difficult now, but if situations change, maintain your love for God motive with a right attitude and make no excuses. Unbelief will manifest if you listen and yield to your flesh when your circumstances do not improve. John wrote in 1 John chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. This is 1 John chapter 5, I'm reading verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Verse 8. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. For more information on the three infallible witnesses, please read the book, The Three Infallible Witnesses, 2023 edition by Joseph Hitchcock. Those with overcoming faith use the three infallible witnesses to come to the truth. Those who use their mind defend lies, become rebellious, and have doubts. If you have any doubts that Jesus ever used his divine nature, there are three things that prove he came to this earth in human form. One, the Holy Spirit that came upon him like a dove at his baptism. Two, his baptism in water by John was a declaration to show us that he had emptied himself. Number three, the blood that he shed, suffering to do the will of God for the sins of all mankind. If Jesus came using his own divine power, he would not have needed the Holy Spirit to come upon him at any time, or need to be baptized by John to fulfill all righteousness. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 5. I'm reading verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. In the Living Bible, Hebrews 5, 8 and 9 says, and even though Jesus was God's son, he had to learn from experience what it was like to obey, when obeying meant suffering. It was after he had proved himself perfect in his experience that Jesus became the giver of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Jesus knows what is coming next and what you're going through now. You do not need to give him a long explanation in prayer of what you've never had in this life or how you had to work hard for those things that others take for granted. Jesus had to qualify to die on that cross. You just need to say, Lord, you know everything. So what do you want me to do? And listen. He uses the simple and uneducated to demonstrate his power in their weaknesses by grace through faith in him and his precious promises. In the Living Bible, 1 John 5, verses 1 to 2 says, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is God's Son and your Saviour, then you are a child of God. And all who love the Father love his children too. So you can find out how much you love God's children, your brothers and sisters in the Lord, by how much you love and obey God. It is hard to love those who rub you the wrong way, but it's not difficult to love those who are born of God, doing the will of God like obedient children. It is also easy to love God and keep his commandments because he is perfect. When you meet someone who loves Jesus and keeps his command, it's like meeting someone you have known for many years because you have the same overcoming faith. You can meet someone only hearing God in ministry and not get the same feeling. John said in 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 to 10. This is 1 John chapter 1. I'm reading verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Just because you are born again It does not mean you are walking in the light. Those who walk in darkness avoid conviction and use their minds to make decisions. They quench the spirit as soon as they start thinking because they're carnal. Where fellowship is the priority rather than repentance from dead works, churches become a club or society. Those who are walking in darkness are willfully ignorant and believe lies for the sake of their flesh, that they cannot compare themselves to Christ exactly. This unbelief comes from a reasoning that Jesus did not start with a sinful nature. However, if you confess your sin, you can be cleansed from all unrighteousness. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. This is Hebrews chapter 9. I'm reading verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? There is no excuse to not serve the living God. Repent deeply, as through his blood you can make a fresh start with a clear conscience. Use a notebook to record the sin you're overcoming by faith and what controlled you before. Those yielding to the flesh will remain ignorant until they find the reason why they consult their own will under pressure. Also, repent of dead works, or it'll be harder in critical areas when you need more time to hear, trust, and obey. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. This is Colossians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Verse 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. The word rudiments in Strong's is number 4747. It comes from the base of another word meaning something orderly, in arrangement, that is by implication a serial, a base, a fundamental or an initial, constituent, literally, proposition, figuratively, an element, a principle or a rudiment. You receive Christ as Lord because the flesh is completely corrupt, even if this world appears to have some order. In this world, you are expected to use your mind. So save yourselves by acknowledging him in all your ways. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Colossians 2, 6 to 8 says this: as you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk, regulate your lives, and conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to him. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him, fixed and founded in him, being continually built up in him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. See to it that no one carries you off as spoil or makes you yourselves captive by so-called philosophy and intellectualism and vain deceit, idle fancies and plain nonsense, following human tradition, men's idea of the material rather than the spiritual world, just crude notions following the rudimentary and elementary teachings of the universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ the Messiah. Did you establish Jesus as Lord by making yourself subject to the Spirit of God in all areas or only some? There is no excuse for not being like Christ. Paul was writing to a church situated in a passing place for many trade routes in Asia. and they were becoming spiritually blind. Born again, you were chosen by God to be like a pilgrim. The world is like a drive-through restaurant. If your car represents Christ, stay in it. If you cannot roll down the window and use what the world has to offer, you don't need it. James said in James chapter 3 and verse 15. This is in the book of James chapter 3. I'm reading verse 15. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. If you always accept human wisdom, you will end up on a way that seems right, heading for destruction again. It is attractive, sensual, and used to make sinners comfortable. If you want to be spotless, pray through some limits in terms of time or size or price before you go to buy things in this world to ensure you only get what you really need. If you are rooted in Christ, there should not be anything in your home that you went out to buy that you like yourself and that you purchase without the Holy Spirit taking the initiative. John said in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, this is 1 John chapter 4, I'm reading verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In the book Light, Revised Edition, in chapter 15, on the difference between being filled with and in the Spirit, Joseph Hitchcock used an illustration of being in Christ, sitting fully protected with the authority to destroy the works of the enemy. You do not have to understand the strategy of warfare to overcome. You just need to press buttons and load his spiritual ammunition as you get his orders. John could say to his new converts, "You are of God," because they recognized an antichrist spirit and did not get overcome by listening to their logical arguments. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. This is Romans chapter 6. I'm reading verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Your life should be buried with Christ unless you resurrect the flesh by listening to your earthly members. Witnesses should be present at every baptism to confirm fruits of a believer that have overcome the flesh in many areas in their personal lives. By hearing God in one or two areas, you can become lukewarm. Those only hearing God in ministry become hypocrites when they get baptized and need to produce the fruits meet for repentance first. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. I'm reading verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. When I started in the ministry, I needed long hours to overcome an ever-increasing workload, traveling to 5 or 10 nations every year. I was so tired at times, you could not tell who was winning the fight. I started winning by getting up earlier to hear God and got to bed at a reasonable time. Obeying his instructions early exposed a lot of dead works. For years afterwards, I was reaching 50 or 60 nations a year with less and less help. God does not have any graduates, so keep repenting. Watching TV, sports, or doing computer games are all dead works that will hinder your Christian life. Anything you do without asking God uses precious time. So later, used by God, you are not prepared or even unavailable. Those unwilling to obey get in the flesh and miss God's timing. If you're not going on to perfection, you are spiritually blind. Those with overcoming faith, when convicted, seek why they are behind. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. This is Hebrews chapter 13, starting in verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Spirit is willing to let you cross boundaries. So do not ignore conviction or correction through the word when you are following Christ. Daily adjustments are best. It's never too late to deny yourself consistently and take up your cross daily. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrine of Christ, the Messiah, advancing steadily towards the completeness and perfection that belong to spiritual maturity. Let us not again be laying the foundation of repentance and abandonment of dead works, dead formalism, and of the faith by which you turn to God. At his appearing, those with just knowledge of the principles of the doctrine of Christ, trusting in the finished work of the cross, will be left behind. You can experience conviction and not reach perfection. After salvation, someone might have told you to read your Bible, come to church regularly, pray, fellowship with other brothers and sisters, and get under a good pastor watching for your soul. If you've established the Lordship of Christ through the direction of the Holy Spirit, you will do all these things. Dead religious works, however, will hinder your spiritual growth. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. This is John's Gospel, chapter 20, and reading verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Verse 31, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. If you are born again, you have authority to do his perfect will. Whenever God delivers you into something uncomfortable for your flesh, he will deliver you out if you believe. All you have to do is listen to the instructions, learn, and not take matters into your own hands. The miracles confirm Jesus is the Messiah, but the cross was proof that he never consulted his own will under pressure. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 18 to 21. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto an holy temple in the Lord. Doing anything contrary to what has already been written will result in conviction, so that you know you are departing from the truth. There are many examples of righteousness by faith found in the Old Testament who responded to conviction. In the New Testament, the Spirit tells us what we need to do in complicated situations. Jesus never did anything without first hearing from God, and he is the cornerstone of everyone who believes. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. This is in the book of Romans chapter 14. I'm reading verse 23. And he that doubts is damned if he eats, because he eats not of faith. For whatever is not of faith is sin. I always had to eat what is set before me in other countries. The Apostle Peter said, no, Lord, when Jesus told him to eat some unclean animals in a vision. Acts chapter 11 and verse 8. You can have faith for one or two activities, but for overcoming, you need faith in whatever the Holy Spirit is telling you to do at any point in time, especially when it doesn't make any sense. This is part of your spiritual education. Do not try to understand spiritual things with your mind. If you want to consistently please him and overcome sin, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Verse 23. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In the book Sound Doctrine, in section 1, Ways That Seem Right, in chapter 1, on looking at the problem, on pages 5 and 6, Joseph Hedgecott writes, evangelicals have come out of the old line churches and they think they really have the truth. But there's error there as well. Their camouflage is even better than that of the dead Protestants. They have some fire, so they must be doing something right. They assume that since God is moving, all their doctrines must be correct. Then along came the Pentecostals, and they saw all kinds of error in the traditional evangelical churches. Some people think that since they have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they got it all. Yet there's still error in their doctrine. Charismatics are the same way. They may have received enough truth that they can see some error in the Pentecostal movement. Now the charismatics tend to proclaim themselves to be the chosen ones, but there's much error in their group as well. Many have come out of these churches too and are now called independents. There are a variety of labels. But every group has the same problem. Every group seems to get more sophisticated in their ability to camouflage the ways that seem right. It gets harder to expose the lies. The home is your first church and the best place to practice righteousness. Those with a confidence in the flesh are unwilling to learn. Those walking in darkness mock those acknowledging God in all their ways because they want to do what they want when they want. Spirit-filled groups that only hear God in one or two areas or on a way that seems right and have their own ideas about ministry. They rely on the Holy Spirit to do the work of the ministry but become hypocrites, resisting conviction in other areas. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 15. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The word judgeth in Strong's is number 350. It comes from some other words which means properly to scrutinize. That is, by implication, investigate, interrogate, determine, ask, question, discern, examine, judge or search. Without any academic qualifications, the spiritual man can scrutinize and ask God more questions on any subject and get to the truth. Those following Christ do not give God instructions, but want to avoid doing dead religious works. Your life and fruit should be different to the world around you if you have the mind of Christ. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. This is Proverbs chapter 3. I'm reading verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. An overcoming faith that keeps asking more questions is rare today. Those who are comfortable do not want to know the truth. If you teach that it's necessary to acknowledge God in all your ways, to have a consistent personal relationship with God, you will get a lot of resistance from any church organization trapped doing dead religious works. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, John chapter 20, verses 30 to 31 says, "There are also many other signs and miracles which Jesus performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, recorded in order that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, a Son of God, and that through believing and cleaving to and trusting and relying upon him, you may have life through in his name, through who he is." The gospel accounts include the miracles Jesus did and the prophecies he fulfilled. The Bible does not flow like a novel that has a beginning, middle, or end, but several books. What the simple, uneducated disciples wrote was directed by the Spirit and designed to bring about conviction if you have ears to hear. John's Gospel was written so you would, number one, believe in your heart that with God's anointing, it's possible for you to follow Christ consistently by denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. Number two, cleave to God by falling in love with him and putting the world behind you by making Jesus Lord of your life. Number three, trust God with all your heart, as described clearly in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Number four, rely on your Heavenly Father to provide and direct everything you need daily through the Holy Spirit. God has no favorites and is not corrupt. The anointing came on those disciples for a reason. Jesus taught in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 5, I'm reading to verse 13. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 5. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Verse 6. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou has shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly." Verse 7. "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Verse 8. "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things ye have need of before you ask him." Verse 9. "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Verse 10. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Verse 11. "Give us this day our daily bread." Verse 12. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Verse 13. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Jesus overcame without ever using his divine nature or commanding the angels. He got everything he needed following God's plan by faith, as revealed daily by the Spirit. Pray for the kingdom to come quickly in your own life so that others can see and believe. Those with overcoming faith are concerned that God's name and reputation is not being tarnished through their own unbelief or lack of maturity. They pray for daily food and forgive those who make promises they cannot keep. They ask God what to do instead and know there is a level of temptation that they cannot handle. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. This is in the book of Philippians chapter 4. I'm reading verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and long for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Verse 2. I beseech Euodias, I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Verse 3. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labour with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow labourers whose names are in the book of life. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Those yoked to Christ on the front line do not get in the flesh when the pressure increases. Keep rejoicing like a lamb led to the slaughter in complicated situations, and your name will remain in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can lose your peace and joy in the last days. You should be taking thoughts captive, not be anxious, as this world is passing away. God said in the book of Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 2. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. I'm reading verse 1. Ho, everyone that is thirsty, come ye to the waters, and ye that have no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. You came to the earth to help others get ready for Christ's kingdom coming. Your soul should delight in fatness with all the lessons you are learning by faith, as this world is passing away, hearing his voice and keeping in step with the Spirit. Those who are childish get overcome because they listen more to their flesh instead. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Verse 6. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In the Message Bible, Hebrews 11, 5 and 6 says, by an act of faith, Enoch skipped death completely. They looked all over and couldn't find him because God had taken him. We know on the basis of reliable testimony that before he was taken, he pleased God. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. Those diligently seeking his presence are rewarded with ears to hear how to overcome. They get the rightly revealed word after patiently enduring a trial or difficulty. Those keeping traditions, rules, and following theories get overcome because they frame their doctrines and cannot just be led and controlled by the Spirit in complicated situations. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 7, I'm reading to verse 14. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 8, for everyone that asketh receives, and he that seeketh finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Verse 9, or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, he will give him a stone? Verse 10. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Verse 12. Therefore, all things, whatsoever you would that men do to you, even so do to them, for this is the law of the prophets. Verse 13, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. In the Message Bible, Matthew 7, 13 to 14 says, don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff. Even though crowds of people do, the way to life, to God, is vigorous and requires total attention. God's covenants require you to ask more questions without any doubts. There are things that you both need and things you need to lose to overcome. Do not hold on to anything, as you will find it harder to let go of everything all at once at the end of your life. God is not the problem, and neither is the devil. The problem is the carnal nature. The wise make no room for the flesh by getting on the narrow way. They're not seeking earthly wisdom to make their lives more comfortable. The wise want to expose the flesh and repent. They trust in God's unlimited power that comes from doing the will of God. If you want a copy of these notes, please write and answer the following questions and send your answers to me. Number one, tell me in your own words what it means to trust God with all your heart. Please refer to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 if necessary. Number two, can you give a few examples of how you overcame in this world by asking God what to do or what to avoid? Number three, are you diligently seeking his presence and the rightly revealed word of truth? And if not, why not? If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and make him Lord and live in the light, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow path. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good and is signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've been speaking to you about overcoming faith. Faith without works is dead. You can't sit there and just be lazy and use your mind to have your faith in God. You've got to look at what you do in complicated situations. That's what your faith is really releasing into. Use a notebook and you will find out what you really believe in your heart. And when you do, God is going to give you every opportunity to repent and give you revelation and insight into how to live the life that he planned for you from the beginning. Hallelujah. Let me pray with you. Father in heaven, for those who are listening to this message, they want overcoming faith and they must pay a price for it. Help them to understand that right now you are creating complicated situations for them so that their faith will be solid and strong in times ahead. Father, bless them by their faith in what you're going to provide for them in Jesus' name. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you for listening.